and you may be right. Welcome to the Morning Edge. I'm Floyd J. Winters, and beside me is Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Well, it's only money. It's only money. You know, Ted Cruz, he knows how to do that. He's going to give us a flat tax, a 10% flat tax. Of course, we don't know how in the hell that's going to work for lots of reasons. Progressive taxes are designed to avoid taxing the poor some more. I'm sure he's not thinking of the poor when he's wanting to put a tax on anything. In any event, we've got Paul Krugman this morning talking about the trillion-dollar fraudsters and the budget coming from the Republicans. And the real curious one is a thing called the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. We've all heard of the IMF. Well, this is another one, and this is coming out of Europe with Chinese Asian development. It's a thing that involves $4 trillion of financial funds backing this effort. There will be a parallel investment internationally that the Obama administration may have screwed up on, frankly. They may have mishandled this issue, American position on opposing the new bank until China accepts certain principles of governance, and lending would have been more effective if the administration had worked with its allies to produce a set of common principles. On Tuesday of last week, Germany, France, and Italy announced that they would join this bank, and Australia and South Korea are expected to follow. This is not a little thing, folks, and it's going to change a lot of the things that people worry about with world economies, and we're part of that, and we don't want to misstep this, but that with the way we're mishandling our Congress, people coming out of the Congress running for office who don't know their rear end from their toilet paper, it just doesn't make any sense. But there's some happy news on the horizon, Floyd. We got the Jazz Hot Mamas down at the Black Theater down on, let's see, it's on 10th Street and I believe 10th and Orange, or 10th and Lemon. Anyway, but they had a performance last night that was just a knockout, drag-out, wonderful performance of four singers doing the original songs of blues.
Did you go?
I went. I went with my family, and I've enjoyed the hell out of it. It was really great. They did Ella Fitzgerald, there was just a tremendous amount of talent that you just don't get to see everywhere. They're overlooked, but believe me, they would make some of the shows at the Van Wezel look mediocre. I hear music, hit me with a hot note. That's all. Unforgettable, My Funny Valentine, Birth of the Blues, all these wonderful old songs sung with power and insight and intelligence. It's just a terrific thing. But anyway, that was kind of a fun thing against the background I laid with the dollar situation. So, Floyd, what's on your mind this morning?
On my mind? Well, I've got some good news in the paper today. It deals with conspiracy theories and Fox Network. And guess what's going to happen? After 13 years, Fox Network is going to bring back agents Mulder and Scully from the X-Files. They're returning. And Augie's looking at me with a blank stare. He has no idea about those.
I tend not to watch most most of that sort of thing.
It was a very popular series about conspiracy theories and paranormal activities.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And there was Agent
X-Men
Fox.
X-Men and all that stuff.
No, it wasn't X-Men. That's a different kind of thing. These were people.
What's different about it?
The series was basically looking into Area 51 or looking into paranormal activities.
What happened in Arkansas.
And the government cover-ups and stuff of that nature. And it was an entertaining series. I remember their phone they used to have, this little Motorola phone that would flip open. It was just like it reminded me of Star Trek. Star Trek had this communicator, beam me up, Scotty. And it looked like the beam me up, Scotty phone. And we eventually bought one of those, and we loved it. And now we have our new smartphones. But it was a really neat series, and it's coming back after a 13-year commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our listeners will be aware of that.
New again, huh?
In this particular case, that is the situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, the entertainment side of life is a big thing. As I was being entertained last night with some very wonderful. You know, today I really don't believe there were no male singers in this performance. And today, if you really look around and what male singers are there that are there of any interest in a wide way and a consistent way? There's one, I think, he tries to imitate Sinatra, who I can't think of his name now, but for the most part they're non-existent. They can't sing, won't sing, and they do rap and they do other versions of music, but they have no vocal range for the most part, and the only people that do that with any consistency, any gender consistency, are women. And it's just the only fact of life. You want to hear entertaining singing that you can actually understand. It's usually coming from women. I mean, when you watched the performance at the Golden Globes, it was Lady Gaga got up there and knocked us out with songs from Sound of Music and everything else. She did a whole retinue honoring who was the great singer from Sound of Music,
Julie Andrews.
And Julie Andrews came on stage at that time. And you have a continuum of women with wonderful voices and people appreciating it nonetheless. It would be interesting to see more of that. There is the great Italian singer who does opera and does some popular songs, but he's blind and I can't think of his name. My thoughts are going random this morning. But I think this matter with China and the trillion-dollar fraudsters with Paul Krugman talks about. It's the Republican Party tradition. Every year the party produces a budget that allegedly slashes deficit, which turns out to contain a trillion-dollar magic asterisk, a line that promises huge spending cuts and or revenue increases, but without explaining where the money is supposed to come from. The just-released budgets from the House and Senate break new ground. Each contains not one, but $2 trillion magic asterisks. One on spending, one on revenue, and that's actually an understatement. If either budget were to become law, it would leave the federal government several $1 trillion deeper in debt than claimed, and that's just in the first decade. Meanwhile, both budgets call for a repeal of the Affordable Care Act, what else, including the taxes that pay for the insurance subsidies. That's $1 trillion of revenue, yet both claim to have no effect on tax receipts. However, and somehow, the federal government is supposed to make up for the lost Obamacare revenue. How exactly, we have no idea. And, of course, that's the way of things with the so-called conservatives. You can already hear the snickering. It's a simple truth. Remember the ridicule heaped on the spending projections of the Affordable Care Act? Actual spending is coming in well below expectations, and the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, has marked its forecast of the next decade down by 20%. Remember the jeering when Obama declared he would cut the deficit in half by the end of the first term? Well, a sluggish economy delayed things a little bit, but only by a year. The deficit in calendar year 2013 was less than half its 2009 level and has continued to fall. So no outrageous fiscal mendacity is historically normal nor bipartisan. It's a modern Republican thing, and the question is why. The real thing of it, of lying, and that's what mendacity means, in case you didn't know. These budgets are surely supposed to, let's see. And the simplest way to understand these budgets is to suppose they are intended to do what they would, in fact, actually do, make the rich richer and ordinary families poor. Does this mean that all those politicians declaiming the evils of budget deficits and their determination to end the scourge of debt were never sincere? It sure does. In any event,
mendacity.
Yep.
Mendacity from Cat in a Hot Tin Roof with Burl Ives, the mendacity.
Mendacity.
Different
word.
So Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman were pronouncing the word wrong.
Well, they would be. They might have. They might have been caught up in the hot moments of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
So Senator Ted Cruz is talking about a flat tax.
Yeah.
And just, well, it's an interesting topic because right now I would say we have a regressive tax. Initially, it came in with the idea of a progressive tax. That is, the individuals who were making less money would pay a lesser tax rate. That's what a progressive tax was about. As you made more money, you paid a higher tax rate. And under Eisenhower years, that's exactly what happened. The wealthier Americans, people who were the multimillionaires, were paying a tax rate that was well over 60%. Some people say even higher.
It was 91%.
And I've heard the 90-some percent. I just find
that hard to
believe.
Well, but you have to see, that's the alternative minimum tax is what you're talking about. That doesn't mean you don't have write-offs.
Yeah.
And so write-offs mean you, let's say you had an income of $100,000, and let's say you fall under the 90%, you're going to pay $90,000 in taxes? I don't think so. So what happens, you get if you have a business, you write off the cost of your employees, you write off the health insurance you provide them, all the various benefits you provide, and if you give them bonuses and things like that, suddenly your tax liability drops by that amount of money.
But during the 1950s, the tax burden of the wealthier people was much higher. Here was a Republican president, esteemed by most of the people in America, very popular Republican president. And we've gone from a progressive tax to a regressive tax, from progressive to regressive.
Yeah, well, I think the thing to understand, Floyd, is if you're going to talk about revenue creation to build a country, the 91% tax rate was a suitable thing.
And
you're going to have to.
And it funded the interstate highway system. It did a great thing as far as rebuilding America after the war.
Well, and what it was, the example of that, the thing that turned the economy of Germany around was their own interstate highway system that they built. And Eisenhower saw that was a good side of what the Nazis
Autobahn.
Did. The Autobahn. The Autobahn was the original interstate highway system, of course. And it wasn't just the Autobahn. It was dams, bridges, all that sort of thing that went into construction because of the tax revenue we had to do it. So we've got these people who constantly talk about balanced budgets and lower taxes, and the implication is always, well, you supply us with campaign funds, and we'll get your taxes down, folks. And if you're not rich enough to do that, we're going to punish you, and we'll take away the
benefits.
And so
that's why I say our tax system today is regressive, that it punishes the poor. When you have a person who's working as a secretary who's paying 25-30% tax rate, and a wealthy person, whether it's Republican or Democrat, like Warren Buffett is not a strong conservative, and he's paying like 14%, or Mitt Romney's paying 14% tax, and yet their secretaries are paying 25-30% tax, that's a regressive tax. When you're paying Social Security, and the average working stiff has to pay Social Security all the way up to $118,000, I think it is, or something like that, but the wealthy does not pay Social Security tax on anything over $118,000. That's, again, a regressive tax.
You really make a great point there, and that's maybe the better parallel here. But in case you want to get in on this conversation, call 941-745-1490.
And Ted Cruz is promoting the idea of a flat tax. When he came out and announced in Lynchburg, Virginia, at Jerry Falwell's former college, announced that he's going to run for president. Can you imagine Ted Cruz running for president? And he said one of the things he promised to work for is a flat tax. Now, I don't think the flat tax is the best solution, but I think it's a lot better than the regressive tax that we have right now, where the campaign lobbyists are paying our congressional figures to reduce taxes, to give tax breaks, to ship American jobs overseas, to give tax breaks, to put American corporations and pharmaceutical companies in Ireland or different companies.
Well, those are laws that are already in place, Floyd.
And they're continuing with those laws, and they're continuing to
provide those breaks against a tax-reducing situation or revenue-reducing. This is, I'm trying to think of the fellow who came up with drown them in a bathtub, the government's something to get rid of. And they're succeeding at that. The conservatives, Grover Norquist is the fellow who made all the Congress sign that affidavit, if you will, in the Congress for this purpose. So when you do that and you treat the revenue of a business or of a country as an enemy, which Norquist basically says it is, you have a big problem. And this is what we're facing right now. The revenue issues on the in our infrastructure are very, very necessary. So we've got a caller, have we?
We have a caller, and he's on topic. He's going to talk about taxes.
Oh, good.
Welcome to the Morning Edge, and give us your input on taxes, if you will, please.
Who is this person?
Good morning.
Oh, it's the Lawrence. Good morning, yeah. Lawrence.
Floyd, I cannot hear you at all.
Yes, I know. I just put my mic back up because I had it off when I was talking to you on the line.
Okay, fine. In regards to taxes, the last time we spoke, we talked about the flat tax and how Floyd and I are both of like mind.
Oh no! Did you really say that?
Yeah, he did. Yes, Floyd said that too. Actually,
yeah. we do have some agreements, and I think that it's important that we can work on our agreements. So go on, Lawrence.
Well, I don't think that.
Right.
I think
right.
That agreement is in debate, but that's all right.
Okay.
Well, it's not in debate. It's factual.
Okay? No, it's an opinion. It's
anyway,
not factual.
Let's hear what your point
What's
is on
your
this.
Opinion? Yes.
I'm just curious, what's wrong, August, with the flat tax? Why do you oppose it? If Hillary was in favor of it, would you be in favor of it?
It's not about personalities, Floyd.
Oh, so it's not Ted Cruz?
No, in principle, I disagree with it, yes.
In principle. So It's not because of what Ted Cruz said?
No, he was opposed to that way before Ted Cruz made his announcement a couple days ago. We've had this discussion before about this.
Oh, yeah, that's what I just said, right. Yeah.
Well, but the point is you're asking the question, what's wrong with it? Well, first of all, when you don't tax on monies and Social Security above $118,000, then you're not taxing people at all, 10% or anything else. In the case of your federal taxes, if you have income tax to pay, if you have it, because some people don't, if you have enough write-offs, you pay very little. And people who don't have write-offs are usually the people who are working people. And so it will not matter. It will not make a difference to anyone and to the basic revenue. If you're saying you're going to get a flat tax and therefore you're going to pay a minimum tax, then you're talking about a different kind of taxing thing. Just a flat tax statement doesn't cut it.
Don't you think it would be a step in the right direction, August?
Well, what is the purpose of the tax?
I asked the question. Do you not think it would be?
Well,
I can agree
to the right direction if I understand what the direction is. So I'm asking.
Okay, so you're opposed to it, not knowing what the right direction is.
Well, I'm trying to get your look. If you want to make a clear.
Why are you opposed to it when you don't know?
Lawrence, ask a little bit.
I'm trying to narrow you down to a point.
No, I want to go back to my original point that you avoided. You're opposed to the flat tax because it was Ted Cruz that came out with it.
No, he's not.
Never said that at all.
Never said that at all.
And why do you dislike Ted Cruz?
Well, that wasn't the conversation. The conversation was taxes.
You're making it personalities. You know, this is silly
stuff. It's not personalities. It's concepts. Yeah. We're talking about a concept in American government.
Let's just cut to the chase. I want somebody in government who knows what the hell they're doing. This guy's a senator for a short time, and
so is Barack Obama.
That's right. Except that Barack Obama comes from far better background. Not that Ted Cruz isn't smart. I agree with you that
he's smarter than Barack Obama.
Well, that's debatable. Lawrence, what you've done is successfully sabotage our civil discussion on flat tax and got by personalities. Let's not look at personalities. Let's look at concepts. Well, see if we can explore ways that we can move forward. We talked about taxes before Ted Cruz.
Don't lecture him, Floyd. Let's try to have a conversation.
Well, what his goal is to sabotage our conversation.
It may be his goal, but my goal is to try anyway to have the conversation.
Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Talk about taxes. There's a couple different things. There's the flat tax that Ted Cruz brought up. And the reason I would be in favor of that more than we have right now is because finally I would see some of the wealthier people actually paying maybe part of their taxes. I'm afraid the flat tax, though, would allow the fat cats to have even more exemptions.
That's right.
And as a consequence, still not pay their fair share.
They'd pay nothing.
What I liked instead was the fair tax. The fair tax is it something that came up about 15 years ago, maybe longer. And the
Much longer. That would be Neil Bortz's plan, and so I'm quite familiar with it.
And
so
the fair tax
is worth each other on who knows more about flat fare or whatever.
And the fair tax was the national sales tax, where the super wealthy, when they bought their luxury yachts and their expensive $250,000
people. Yes.
I'm not saying they're evil. I'm saying they have.
What's wrong with? Why must you? What about the people that don't pay any taxes?
They have to. Well, then now you're talking about a minimum tax. If you're going to tax everybody with something, that's your suggestion, I suppose.
No. Currently, there are people that pay no federal income tax.
What did I just say? You didn't listen to what I said.
Yes, I did.
I said to you. If people pay no tax and you want to have people pay fairly or in some fashion or other, then you're going to say, we're going to put a number on it. You're going to pay a minimum tax of, if it's 5%, 10%, whatever, you're going to pay something and contribute to the development of your country. Is that what your point is?
Yes, that would be the point you want me to say yes to.
I don't care what you say, Lawrence, what your opinion is.
Here's an issue, Lawrence. You're talking about people not paying taxes. How about
federal income tax, not taxes.
Lawrence, you're talking about people not paying, if you want to say federal taxes or state taxes, you're talking about people not paying taxes.
What I want to say,
Lawrence,
listen, federal income tax.
Okay, Lawrence, I hear you. Yelling, making it louder does not make you right. It just makes you more obnoxious. Lawrence, I'm agreeing with what you say. Let me continue, please. Okay, thank you. There's corporations like GM that paid virtually no federal income tax. They got tax breaks, corporate taxes, and some of the federal taxes, some of the things that are happening, and yet they're getting corporate welfare. They're getting these huge tax breaks. We've had it happen locally in Manatee County. People who were big campaign contributors of Governor Rick Scott were given tax breaks to bring jobs into Manatee County, and they found that there was a net growth.
I can't talk about Ted Cruz when you're talking about Scott.
We're talking about taxes.
Let me go to this point a second, Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence, if you're really serious about the issue of revenues that let's establish one little thing. Do you think government needs to have revenues?
No. Here is my response.
I'm asking a very direct point. Now.
Yes, I would like to make it. You should have some stake in the country, and you should pay. Whatever, start 1%, whatever, and the top pays 30%, whatever. If you pay nothing, you pay zero, you have nothing in the game. You have no stake in the game.
And I agree
That's
with that,
what
Lawrence.
I'm saying.
We agree that. We agree there. Yeah, we agree, and it's kind of nice.
He's going to make another point. Go ahead, Lawrence.
No, that's my point.
That's your point. That's the end of your point.
Yeah.
So you're agreeing that having a stake in your country is what revenue is about. Tax revenue.
No. You're changing the subject, August.
I don't think so. We're just trying to figure out.
I know. You're just
other than sabotaging our conversation, we're trying to figure out what your point is.
You're changing the subject.
How did I do that? How did I change the issue?
We were talking about fair or flat tax.
Yeah, but that's a title. That
the effective tax,
you just said, the purpose of the tax is to be a stakeholder. That was the inference I got, and we agree there, mm-hmm. that you need to be a stakeholder. Now, in the case of Warren Buffett, who's been asked about the tax, he says, I don't care if we go back to the days of Eisenhower when it was 91%. That's Warren Buffett, a multi-billionaire, saying that because I believe in my country. I believe that whatever tax I pay...
I'm restating
what he said.
Is he the same guy that has all this money in other parts of the world, avoiding paying taxes? Is he the same guy?
Well, I think you're overstating his situation.
But is he that guy?
Like all big investors, sure.
Oh, okay. All right. So what I'm saying is how hypocritical is it for you to point to Warren Buffett as an example of what you're trying to explain when he's avoiding the same thing we're talking about?
Well, to make the point further on Warren Buffett, he also said... I don't care what the tax is. I paid X percentage of he stated what it was at the time, that he did pay the tax, and he didn't avoid it all. And that's how you make a country run. Is there's lots of problems, but what Floyd was saying before, the things that avoid the tax the most is when you sell your job situation out to other countries.
Outsourcing our jobs.
Right,
and they were actually...
make a tax break to the corporations that the people work for here to build up in the first place through the workers, and you kill their jobs off and start making competitive workers in a country where the labor's cheaper. Now, that to me, it has to go away.
Companies like Dell Corporation, Apple Computer, they GM. Were actually given tax breaks to send American jobs overseas to China and India. And Warren Buffett was asking, let's see if we can change that rule. Yes, he is benefiting from the tax breaks given to the wealthy. He was asking if we could instead kind of shift the tax burden a little bit more into the wealthy and kind of help to support America. We do need tax money for things like wars in Iraq and wars in Iran and whatever they're going to do.
We build their infrastructure and let ours go to hell.
And that's what's occurred, yes. It's unfortunate. So, Lawrence, you want to add a little bit more in there, please?
No, I'm just saying that if you're a participating citizen of this great country and you don't pay anything,
you're not participating. You're darn right. What about the corporations that do the same thing, Lawrence?
But I was talking about one thing and you're changing
the same thing. They're two different taxes. So you said if an individual does that, then they're really unpatriotic, I think you said, in so many words.
And if a corporation does it and doesn't pay taxes and moves their place to an offshore office building
like Warren Buffett, right.
Cayman Islands,
right,
and they have
right,
just...
Right.
They have this, and it's a problem that has to be addressed. Lawrence, I'm going to put you on hold right here. We're going to take a look at our other caller.
Thank you very much, Floyd.
Here's another caller coming in. Caller, you're live on the Morning Edge. What do you have to say about taxes this morning?
Yes, this is Dr. Tom.
Dr. Tom, welcome to the Morning Edge.
Good morning, Dr. Tom.
He's a fake doctor. He has an honorary degree.
Please, Lawrence, be polite.
He has an honorary.
Thank you.
I knew that Lawrence would attack the messenger.
Lawrence is about personalities, not about issues.
Well, don't do that either. Let's not smear.
I had a show on 1490, and I had my diploma. I actually brought it in, and other people like Rick on the radio and Mitch have been to my house, seen my diplomas, read my books. They know how I got
We're not challenging you.
Dr. Tom, let's just go with names and titles aren't that important. I've got titles I don't ever mention.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's the one brought up. My show was The Voice of Experience with Dr. Tom. So that's why I just said
it. But
rich people don't pay taxes. They pay lawyers.
That's right. They do a lot of it. But if I use Warren Buffett as an argument for...
He's like the one example.
Right.
There are plenty
right.
of good billionaires and trillionaires. Right. The Carnegies.
Right.
There are plenty
Andrew
of good
Carnegie
ones.
Is a great example, but that's in the past. But
right. Today, they're not. And by the way, Cruz will never win because he has shifty eyes.
Well, you know, he does have that darting look, and people will question his heritage as to being an American or not, if from Canada. But...
I don't care about anything he says because that's how people are. It's a television thing.
Well, people said that about Bush with his grin and his sneer, and yet he was able to win the last election.
He never won a single election, actually. He lost the popular vote, and the electoral votes were moved around in the case of the election against Kelly.
Right, they stole Florida. That was the swing state.
Right.
Bush lost.
Florida. We were proud to live in Florida.
He lost Florida, but illegally won it. And then illegally stole against Kerry because they shifted 200,000 ballots over to Tennessee long enough for Kerry to give his concession. And then within hours, the numbers went back up again, which would have won him the election. So
they said he was working for the enemy when he was a hero.
Right. Right. Well, I remember watching Kerry on television before the Congress telling about the brutality and the body bags and all of the rest that Westmoreland had ordered in the Vietnam War. fill up the body bags, and we'll have a bigger number, and we can declare success.
Dr. Tom, back to taxes. What's your thought on taxes, whether it's a flat tax or a fair tax or progressive or a recessive tax, regressive tax that we have right now?
Under $100,000 should not pay any taxes. Let the trillionaires and the billionaires pay the taxes, because they benefit from the educated people who work for them, from the roads that they travel their supplies with, from the shipyards. They benefit from everything in this country. Let them pay the taxes.
I think Dr. Tom hit the nail on the head. He hit the ball out of the park. Absolutely.
Well, I'm a person who doesn't make that much, doesn't make right now over $100,000 a year. I have no problem paying my taxes. I feel an obligation.
Well, that's not the point.
I feel an obligation to pay a tax to pay for our roads, to pay for our defense.
Hypnotized by the one percenters. You should be getting a subsidy. Everybody should be getting $100,000.
Well, you know, if we lived in Alaska, we could afford to do that. If we lived in Saudi Arabia, we could afford it.
People wonder. I talk to people all the time about Europe. In fact, in Europe, you pay a lower tax, but you pay a higher tax for energy use. Your gasoline costs double, but your mileage is double. So you really pay no more for the use of energy there than you pay here, but you get less efficiency. This is the kind of stuff that goes on in this country, and we say that our healthcare system is number one for the 1%, right, Dr. Tom?
Right. The 1% is the Republican Party.
Yep, they are.
Own it, and anyone who's not a millionaire and votes Republican is not voting for their own interest. They're hypnotized by Fox Radio. They own AM radio, mm-hmm. except for you and a few others, very few others. They own it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking about own it, right now, we own and we owe to our sponsor. So if you can hang on here, if you will. But I do have to say hello to our sponsor right now, and we will be right back in about 1 minute.
Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota, with Dr. Mark D'Amato. 4450 South Tamiami Trail, Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Mark treats two-legged patients, too.
I'm going to make mention of that.
And I have two legs, and Augie has a comment about this commercial. Augie.
Well, I bark, bark, dog, dog. I do want to mention Jim Delgado, and Delgado. Yeah, they're also sponsors of the show. So we have more than.
And by the way, they give you legal services, and right. You see their signs all over town. They will go to bat for you. So.
Well, I'm trying to get Jim in here to talk about the red light laws that may be going down. And what are the communities going to do when they have to return all that tax money that they've been calling ticketing? But Dr. Tom, you're back on, right?
Yes, I am. And remember, under Eisenhower, if you made over $1 million, you paid 90% taxes.
Yeah. It was 91%, actually.
Yeah. If we wait for a second, you are listening to The Morning Edge, where you're currently talking about flat tax or fair tax or regressive or progressive tax. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 941-745-1490.
Yeah, the thing that people, what really kills me to listen to people that are 60 and older who have to have some familiarity, or maybe not even, maybe 65 and older, who know about World War II. And know what their parents and grandparents did, that they paid a ration tax. They were drafted mandatorily. They went to war. They sacrificed. The gasoline was rationed. They went through all kinds of sacrifices. And in the space of 4.5 years, we defeated two major enemies to Western ideas, and basically saved what might be called a civilization. So we've done this on the back of large taxes, and with a former general in Eisenhower who led the way. The other thing that is interesting to know too, the marginal the debt to GDP at the end of World War II was 120%. Today it's about 60-70%. So we have a lower debt to GDP rate than we did by half of what it was, or almost half of what it was at the end of World War II. When Jimmy Carter left office, he handed over no debt to Ronald Reagan, who promised a balanced budget and proceeded to triple the debt. And when Clinton left office, he had a declining debt, and it was handed off to a GDP.
If I remember, the Native Americans wanted it, the black people wanted reformation, they were fighting over the surplus, and then Bush decided, give it back to the people who earned it.
Those people you mentioned, Dr. Tom, they don't earn a thing, do they? They don't contribute to the society. They're not a stakeholder. If you don't pay taxes, you're not a stakeholder. Where do you come down on that, Dr. Tom? Where do you come down on that?
I want to take this on a tangent what Rick Scott is doing by letting companies come here and not pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations create little people. When there's a factory like Tropicana, no one wants to live there. Your houses go down in price. There is like a flight out of the factory areas. So you have low-income housing, people making minimum wage, you have poor schools, you have poverty. Now, these poor people, they deserve not to pay taxes and to vote and to have a stake, because but not with these poor schools. That's the goal of the Republicans, is to destroy all public schools, and they're doing it because they don't want an educated masses. They don't want people to be smart enough to unionize. The so-called right to work means you're not allowed to protest or to strike. You're not allowed to say anything. If you get fired, they don't have to tell you why you're fired. It's not a right to work. It's a right to get fired. They're very clever with language, but they are the 1% who own everything. And everyone else should be able to have stake, even if they don't pay taxes, even if they're on welfare.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing, I mentioned the greatest, we call it the greatest generation, and we watch rerun after rerun.
Generation was
of World War II.
The generation who stopped the draft and stopped the war. They were the greatest generation. That other generation who went to World War II, they were fooled by the 1%ers. They were given all this nationalism and love America, and they bought into it. And people in my family died in World War II. They weren't the greatest. They gave birth to the greatest generation, which was the hippie generation who stopped war and stopped the draft. And I've heard you say many times, we have to have a draft, get people involved, and that will stop war. It won't. This generation doesn't have what it takes to get out there and sacrifice their lives to end the war. They are the computer generation. They're nerds. They're soft.
Well, don't you know? Now we have a real interesting discussion here, I really think. And you're right. I'm for the draft because I really feel there's a greater commitment to government if you have to serve in some capacity. But the point is,
you want your daughter drafted?
I want all of my children to be drafted, yes.
You can look at your granddaughter and say, I want her to go fight ISIS.
Well, that's...
we have a caller in. Caller, welcome to the Morning Edge.
Hang on, Dr. Tom.
You want to add to our conversation?
As long as you're talking about taxes, that's
what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, I was going to actually tell the same thing.
We did. Isn't that interesting,
Lawrence?
Floyd?
You're absolutely correct. Lawrence.
Democrat was smart on your radio station. He made Rick look like a genius.
Lawrence, in both of you are correct. We got off of our topic, and I was about to get us back on again. We had a good topic about flat taxes and fair taxes.
I don't think we were off topic at all.
Well, we went from there to the national tax.
The reason I don't think we're off topic is because those who contribute to the country through a taxation process that is ultimately fair is one that doesn't create debt, that you can't rebuild your country. Now, we've created so much debt because of tax breaks for the wealthy and other things that we really can't rebuild or won't rebuild. And we find the situation right now where the tax on highways is about to run out, I think, in June. And we're not going to be able to do what would be ordinary maintenance. So when I hear people whining about the unfairness of the tax and they're in the 1%ers or they're approaching the 1%ers or they're jealous of the 1%ers, that's a little bit nauseating. You know, it's just not.
Well, I see your segue. So you're going about people having skin in the game. And part of that skin is paying taxes.
We have a mercenary army right now.
And part of that skin in the game is also serving for the country. Is it Israel that requires all of their men to be part of the
army? Men and women both.
Yeah.
You know. And unless you're Orthodox.
And yes, that's true, too. That's a bit of a mess.
I mean, there you go,
have.
Right there. You have a phony democracy that's really conducting apartheid on another people, and we're using them as a model for democracy. I mean, my God.
Yeah, so in that respect, yeah, it's true. If you're an Orthodox Jew, you don't have to be part of the military, but otherwise you have to serve in the military.
But when you create a mercenary military, which we have, because unemployment got so high, people jumped into the military, not out of patriotism, just survival. This is what we've, and people desperate to survive. This is what you have today. And we honor these people. I think we dishonor these people when you don't have the draft that everybody becomes a stakeholder. That's why Dr. Tom and I disagree on that.
Okay. Let's get our callers back in the, we've got callers back in the air again.
We need farmers too. We need teachers. We need all kinds, not everybody is a warrior. I don't want my granddaughter fighting ISIS. They cut off their genitals and sell them for slaves. Don't you realize that?
Oh, I do realize that. But you want to go, if you're going to say that, and you're not wrong, that's what they carry out. Now, where do they originate from, Dr. Tom? Where does their teaching and learning all of that come about, and where is it initiated?
In Mecca.
And where is that?
Comes from Saudi Arabia.
Right. So
teaching comes from there.
And what 9/11 was inspired and sponsored
from Saudi Arabia. It all comes from Mecca.
Yeah.
After they hit 9/11, we should have hit Mecca. We should hit the Dome of the Rock, because you can't be a Muslim if you don't go there once. You have to make a pure. Yeah, there's five things you have to do to be a Muslim. One is make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Bomb Mecca. Nuke it. And no one can go there, and there's no more Muslims. End
well, you know,
the
28 pages that Bob Graham is trying to extract out about the shielding of the Saudis over 9/11.
And that's the friends of the Bushes. They're part of the 1%.
They even call one of the princes Baby Bush. I mean,
they actually
nicknamed him that. So, and this is what really kind of bothers me when I hear people running around trying to protect these incompetent so-called leaders of this country in the Bush family. It's just amazing.
And there's been a Bush in every presidential
runoff
ever since Reagan.
Yeah, Lawrence, I agree with you. I think we've digressed here. We've lost our flow.
She's evil.
When you're in the faculty lounge, August, do you talk like this?
I beg your pardon?
I said, when you're in the faculty lounge, do you...
Oh, my God, you got the crazy guy on again? I can get you better Republicans.
I tell you. Well,
Lawrence...
Now, listen to this Nimrod on the other side.
Lawrence
operates
on...
He's a Democrat.
He's not too smart because he's just too damn stupid.
Well, he laughs because he doesn't look at a mirror.
He's a lonely old man.
Bounces off me and sticks to you.
There you go.
Well, I'm afraid we've kind of lost our way right here, and we've regressed to grade school humor.
When you're going to mock someone, then you...
Well, it's happened on both ends, and it just happened on your end as well. Anyway, so we're talking about flat tax, progressive tax, regressive tax, and fair tax, and Ted Cruz did announce. Augie, what did you think about his announcement? Running for president.
Well, he was pandering to a crowd that was half Rand Paul because they had Rand Paul T-shirts on.
There were three of them.
Well, no, I counted a few more than that. But in any event, it was a mandatory attendance.
And it was.
What was the name of the college?
Liberty College in Virginia.
College, yeah.
The college created by Falwell.
Yeah, and so these people don't really, they're not of a mind the same. They get a college education however they best can do it, and they're tied to religion perhaps. I don't think they're monolithic, or they wouldn't have had the ranch shirts on, or that would have been banned from the attendance, I would have think, the way they control things. And it's a weekly mandatory participation that they have there. So Cruz had to know he had an ordered, controlled audience, which, mm-hmm. I attended the presentation of Ronald Reagan years ago at the Van Wezel, and I even shook hands with Reagan walking down the aisle to go on stage, and of course his mask he had on was about an eighth of an inch thick. That would be a plastered on makeup. And when questions were asked, the guy on the stage stood up and ran his finger from left to right and waved his arm as if you were getting questions from wide variety of people. But when you looked at the questions and when they came, you could have drawn a string down the center of the Van Wezel, which holds, I think, 1,000 people or thereabouts. And no questions came from any other spot. They were all controlled. Republicans cannot handle a true discussion of the issues because they fall on their face.
No, I've been to Vern Buchanan's town meetings.
Same thing.
No, I've been there and he's taking questions.
Yeah,
he's talked one on one. He's talked in the group, and I've got to respect the fact he does have the town meetings.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been to a few of his myself, mm-hmm. and when they did one at the Van Wezel, they had mics on both sides. Then they did one down in Venice, and they had a roving mic. I went to the guy who I know. Let me talk, and I did that for a half an hour trying to get my question. It avoided me. No, they do that all the time.
Well, I can understand.
Well, avoiding me.
I can understand it, Augie.
Well, what is it you understand?
Well,
a freewheeling conversation, or you avoid certain questions?
Well, if the question, again, is very partisan as opposed to coming in and just asking
about...
Well,
you're assuming that that's what I was doing.
I don't know.
No, you did. You just said that.
I did. I absolutely assumed that.
If you're going to go about a principal issue at a time, and the people had on their chest these signs, don't touch my Medicare, don't touch my Social Security, and all that he was saying was to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to talk about partisan, or that's not partisan. It's either an issue to benefit the people or not.
And largely when I've gone there, most of his supporters are Republican. Most of us, but I've seen a number of Democrats there, and I've watched them come up and express their concerns, and I've listened to them.
Where?
One of them was Bradenton Christian School. I think one was Bayshore High School. I forget the exact locations. It's been over the past few years.
Was it a freestanding mic you could walk up to and take turns?
Yeah.
And did you? No roving mic?
I've seen both of those occur, but I've seen the freestanding mic that you could walk up. And that made me feel a little bit better about our democracy, that the person from the opposite party, a person I did not vote for, actually took questions from me and took questions from other people in the audience, listened, and was respectful. And most of the people were civil. Some of the people sitting next to me were scary about talking about, well, I wish I brought my AK-47 here and showed them what I think is going on. And it kind of was a little frightening. I just felt uncomfortable with the guy next to me.
Were they Democrats?
I didn't think I had to ask their point. Well, there are some Democrats who also share the Second Amendment beliefs that they have as well. But
you're intimating something here. You're intimating that a violent response was what he might have been facing if he had to answer questions that were more difficult. Or were the question not difficult, just more angry?
Well, I've heard a number. I've heard some people who were really concerned about their issues, and I've heard people who were just given civil debate. And I've listened to Catherine Harris. As much as I was opposed to her, I've seen her also be civil to both sides in conversations. And
well, it's easy to do that, Floyd, when you're rigging elections and you know the outcome going in. And Buchanan, in the case of the Jennings election, he stole that election like Bush stole it from Gore. So this, when you get up there and you know you've got the cards in your corner and you can put down the numbers the way you choose, that's very nice to say all that. But these are the people who are thieves in front of you. That's, you can't call them anything else when you steal elections on all the votes. 18,000 missing ballots in the case of the Jennings thing, and the one vote decision by a Supreme Court to put Mm-hmm. Bush in.
Well, those are major concerns, but I don't know if it was Vernon Buchanan who did that or Kathy Dent, the supervisor of elections, and their touchscreens that they had.
About, he knew nothing about it.
Well, I'm not going to involve him necessarily. But anyway, so as we're winding down, let's give Lawrence one chance for a civil comment that he may make, and then we'll go to Dr. Tom, and as we're finishing up our show. But again, I had Vernon Buchanan talk to me in a civil manner. And let's do the same basic thing and show respect as we finish up. And Lawrence, you're on to get a chance to say your last thing about our show as you finish up.
Yes, thank you. August, you keep mentioning the evil Republicans and how they're failing. How's the Democrats doing in Florida?
Well, if you want to talk about a party...
No, that was a question, and your response is?
I'm going to answer it my way. That's what my response is. I agree that they're incompetent in the leadership. They really are, and they don't know how the game's being played, or they don't care.
There was a person called Will Rogers. He was a very famous comedian like Bob Hope, and he says, I don't belong to an organized party. I'm a Democrat. Right, Augie?
Yeah, and that's sort of in line with what I'm saying. In the two counties, Sarasota, Manatee County, in both counties, money buys these elections. You've got at-large elections kill the vote of the individual and the districts. So, yeah, the Democrats are incompetent in the way they run the parties. Sarasota, they've thought for the longest time that their former chairwoman was really, really great, and she's lucky. They won no elections in years, other than ones that were a couple. There were two, I think, or maybe three at the outside over a period of time. And a nice woman, and went around touting how wonderful everybody was that worked for her. But the effect was disastrous. And now they've hopefully got a new leader with a change afoot at this local level. But the state is absolutely in disarray. So let's go to Dr. Tom.
Dr. Tom, your last question or your last comment as we finish up? Are you still there, Dr. Tom? Somehow we've lost him. Well, I want to thank our callers for their comments and reactions. Lawrence and Dr. Tom, we've been talking about most of the show, fair tax, flat tax, regressive tax, progressive tax. And here we are at 1490 AM WWPR. We'll be back here on Friday as we finish up our show.
We'll have Dennis Maley on from the Bradenton Times online. We'll be talking about the Manatee mess in the school district. We'll be talking about some of those things. And then on Wednesday of next week, we're going to have Mary Cantrell, a school board member.
Who will be in
the studio. And so we're going to carry on some of these things with some consistency, some idea of coherency, and why Manatee County has repeatedly had superintendents who get themselves in trouble for various reasons.
And that concludes our show.